Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I give a shit. I feel like I'm the last person on this planet who gives a shit. You know, the media doesn't give a shit. No one else gives a shit. Things are really like, I don't know. The world is falling apart. No one cares about the crisis in Syria. I mean, people care, but there's just the world is falling apart, which is why I am here to distract you just for a little while and hopefully do maybe a little, you know, a little fun, thoughtful, possible consciousness raising or something like that. I don't know. I'm very excited because I have a lovely and talented, smart sex worker on the show today. And I'm going to introduce you to Natalie in a minute. But before I do, I just want you to understand how we met. We met through a mutual friend, you know, and we spent like a really nice day together, me and our friend, our mutual friend. And it was pretty cultural, looking at art. And she's really normal. She's actually seems a lot more normal than most of the weirdo people I hang out with. Certainly more normal than anyone at this station. So we had a lovely day and she had a lot of smart things to say about the art and stuff, but we didn't talk about her work, her job at all. So this is all fresh, you know, we're going to be discussing it. The thing that I'm mostly concerned about is that I'm going to come off as a total nerd because I don't really know that much about sex work as she does, and it seems sort of uncool in a certain way. But I will tell you that I did go to a triple X convention once, and I did have my picture taken with Stoya, so I'm not that dorky. My husband wanted to go. Okay, so say hello, Natalie.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm just picturing you and your husband at a triple X convention.
Well, it was really cool. I have some great video from that and some great photos. I'll have to see if I still have them, maybe post them.
I don't think I would even fit in at one of those.
No, it was like we were total. Well, you know, the thing that's really cool is that you actually got to see these women, you know, tons of women doing webcams in real time, which is super interesting.
That is so creepy.
Yeah, it was cool. So anyway, we did that, and it was fun, you know? And it was really funny because my husband is such a dork. You didn't meet him, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did
briefly,
you?
Yep.
Okay, so he's such a dork that, like, he was really uncomfortable, like, getting his picture taken with all the women, you know,
really,
and like with Stoya and stuff like that. And I was the one who had to have my picture taken with them, which was really kind of fun.
When I was younger, they used to do these feature acts at strip clubs, and you would get Polaroids for $20 with the different porn stars. And so I have a collection of Polaroids with me and porn stars from like 20 years ago.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I had a nice chat with Stoya. She's a really interesting person. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of creativity and intelligence. No doubt about it. Probably most of my listeners, I imagine I'm preaching to the converted here a bit, that they're pretty comfortable with sex workers, sex working, the whole concept. But, you know, it's something that is always good to bring out in the open and honor, really, because it's a career and it's a decent job for a lot of people. We do want to make a big distinction, which I think is where the problem of the image of the sex worker is, that people confuse it with sex trafficking. What do you think, Natalie?
Well, I think that there are a lot of issues. There's sex trafficking is definitely a thing. I worked in Vegas, and there was definitely some girls that had pimps, and that was really, really sad to see, you know, girls that were younger than me. You know, I do think that, I mean, women in all sorts of positions are exploited, though. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. People in all sorts of positions are exploited. And there's all sorts of human trafficking, not just sex trafficking.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's a really big, I consider it a fairly feminist move for women who want to do sex work and take that on and decide that's what they want to do.
I wish there was a little less shame involved. You know, I think it would be a great, you know, statement or feminist thing on my part if I was just really open about it and stood up for myself. But I think that, you know, I do, you know, in certain situations feel shame. And even depending on if somebody's comfortable with it, sometimes it's hard for me to discuss my job because it's like, well, they have either they're cool, so cool with it that, you know, they don't even see how screwed up it can be.
Yeah.
Or they're so not cool with it that they don't see how much fun it sometimes is. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm never really that comfortable talking about it.
I'm curious to know if it's really different than like, say a lot of office jobs or job as an account executive or, you know, like the job I had in advertising. I mean, I wonder.
Well, I don't know. I drink at work.
Well, so. You're not the only one. I mean.
It's a lot different than any office job I've ever held.
Okay. But like, okay. So say I've had a lot of comedians on the show. I've done a little bit myself. Whatever.
It's more
I know
like
that.
Being a stand-up comic, probably.
Okay. So if you're a stand-up comic, right, you work at bars and clubs mostly.
Yeah.
Right? And you work at night.
Yeah.
And you probably make a lot
people
less.
Laugh. You make more money if you make people laugh. That's
right.
The thing. Yeah.
Right. And so how, and you know, some nights are great and some nights are horrible and you get heckled sometimes. And, you know, I mean,
I think comedians get heckled more than people in my industry.
In your industry. Yeah. Yes. So
I think it's a harder job.
So really, how different is it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, all I'm saying is every job has its ups and downs. And like people, you know, I wasn't happy in my career for most of it. And people would think like, oh, you're an art director. That's so cool. And I'd go, not really. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really know the reality for better or for worse at most people's jobs. So how would you rate your job as opposed to like what you hear other people complain about, like that work at different, you know.
Yeah, I think that other people have it a lot worse than I do, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't have to commute during regular business hours here in New York, which I think is horrible. I don't know how anybody lives here if they have to get on a train like 8 or 7 or even 9 in the morning and go towards Manhattan. It's horrible. Everybody's shoulder to shoulder. That would drive me insane. So I don't have to do that. I don't have to sit in office. I do have to see the same people all the time. Mm-hmm. And I have to.
You mean at your work?
Users. Yeah,
the people at work or the
people at work.
What do you call them? Clients or customers?
Well, they're clients. The clients change pretty much every day, and I have a lot of. I'm not the greatest salesperson. I'm not the best at remembering who's who. But I'm always pretty friendly, and it's funny because people try to jolt my memory sometimes. I don't know if it's a psychological thing. I really do just forget people right away.
You know, it happens with me in my business of doing fake therapy because it happens, you know, like I'll have a conversation with somebody that's pretty intimate.
Yeah. And then you just
maybe not sexually, but I have so many of those conversations.
Exactly. Me
that
too.
Like, and then they're like shocked and insulted occasionally that I don't remember them or remember the details of. Even if I remember them, I may not remember the details.
Men get really mad at me when I forget them. Like, well, they honestly, I've lost money just because I've not answered questions right because my memory is so poor.
Well, no, because their ego is so big. See, here's where the therapy comes in. Don't blame yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell them, you know, look, I'm really popular and I have a lot of clients. You know, I can't.
They don't even like being
remember.
Called clients. You know, it's like it's a whole.
So they
they want the girlfriend experience.
Yeah, know? I mean, I think that's true too, and I think I'm stereotyping in what I just said. That I think that's true too. I mean, I've heard that a lot, right? They just want to have a girlfriend to talk to, right?
Yeah.
Is that part of it, or?
Yep. A lot of times, or they want to discuss their fantasies. Most guys are married. Most guys that need this.
They're married.
Otherwise, they'd just be on Tinder.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, they just want to talk about things they can't talk to their wife about, you know, like their gay fantasies or whatever fantasies they have.
So sexual fantasies.
Yeah. They want to feel normal about it, too. I feel like I'm a therapist in some ways because I even no matter what kind of crazy shit they're telling me. I just make them feel comfortable with it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's normal. I've heard that 100 times. You're not the only one. But still, I'm pretty traditional myself.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I mean, your work must be satisfying. That must be very satisfying.
It is. You know, it takes, I think, a lot of empathy, but I do feel it's rewarding, you know.
I mean,
after somebody has an orgasm, they're really, really thankful, and they give you this great look and this beaming smile, and it's like, oh, wow.
You really made them. Yeah. You did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, suppose, customer satisfaction.
I suppose it's a little like being a masseuse in that way, maybe, where, I mean, not masseuses all over the place, probably, or not, well, maybe the one masseuse is listening.
I'm
comparing it to that, but you know, you feel like you've done something good for someone.
I think it's like anybody else. I feel good if I feel like the show went well, or that somebody responded to it, or if, like, you know, we were talking about comedy, if you get a good set and people laugh, or if you do a great ad and the client loves it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing.
Though.
I mean, it's called sex work, but I'm really actually curious as to how front and center the sex is. I mean, isn't a lot of it just kind of relating to people and giving them sense of intimacy, not just the black and white sex part?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be black and white about it, you're going to get a certain type of clientele that's interested in you. I don't really discuss prices. I don't go down. It's not like I have a menu or a price list. It's like whatever I feel like doing, I'll do. And I expect to be compensated.
Constipated.
Yeah, exactly.
I would think that would probably work the other way. Relax you. I don't know.
But I, you know, they, you know, for I'm paid for my time, not for, you know, specific things on a menu. And I don't talk about black and white.
I
don't like to undersell people, so I don't like to, you know. The price changes a lot depending on what I think someone can afford.
Oh, the sliding scale.
It mostly slides up. I don't really give too many discounts. But.
And you can really, I mean, you're in control of all of this.
If I don't think the customer is deserving, well, then they can have their money back and I can leave.
Right. So you don't really...
I enjoy telling people to fuck themselves. I really do. And I like having
fun.
A job. It's like owning your own business. You know, I'm an independent contractor. I can tell people to fuck off. And it's not like you get a bad reputation in the industry. It's not like somebody's going to yelp about me. Or maybe they do. I'm not going to read that. But, you know, it's not like I have to worry about what I say to anybody. I could say anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, you feel like you have your own agents, you know, you have agency, do you feel, it sounds kind of empowering in a way.
It is. And I think that I stopped doing it for a little while and I started working at a normal job and I've really felt trapped.
I
really felt
it was really
a shitty feeling. Yeah. So I started to get, you know, like unstable. I was so unhappy when I stopped doing it. So
right, because what I think is really important that people understand is, like, what I'm hearing from you is that you get job satisfaction
and independence too. You know, I don't need anyone else to. I don't need a roommate even.
Right.
You know, I don't need to borrow money from my mother ever.
Right.
I don't go shopping. I don't do crazy stuff. But if I want to go on a vacation, I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
And a lot of freedom for women who
don't.
I've been
doing this since I was 18. So now I'm very comfortable with that much freedom. And it's really tough for me to even pick up a job where they're like, oh, you get 1 week of vacation a year. It's like, are you kidding? I don't know how people do that. You have to show up at a specific time every day. It sounds horrible.
So when you came in, you mentioned that, I mean, you and I talked before we got on the air and, you know, I mean, you wouldn't be here if you didn't think that this is like for a good cause and to create some awareness and that you were going to feel respected, or you wouldn't even be here. I'm certain of that.
Well, yeah, there's a certain line of questioning that everybody always gets into about just, I don't know.
So I'm curious, can you just, I mean, I don't want to ask you those. We are not going to have those questions to talk about, but I'm just curious how normal people what is it that people find most compelling about your job? I find the relating. I'll just say, after talking to you on the radio right now in 10 minutes, the thing that I find most compelling is the way that you get to relate to people in an intimate way.
Especially and, people I would never normally come across, like billionaires or, you know, just people that, like, I sometimes, I'm in a conversation with people I know that don't know what I do for a living, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I was talking to this, you know, the CEO of such and such the other day, and they're like, how the fuck did you come, how did you meet that person?
Right,
like, what bar did you meet him at? You know, and it's like,
Right. And, yeah, I mean, all that stuff sounds really interesting. And, I mean, that sounds, I'm saying, like, to me, that's the most interesting part. But yeah. What kind of stuff, that's what I'm curious about. But what kind of stuff do people generally ask you? What are the really annoying questions? I'm just curious.
Do you enjoy your job or does it turn you on? Or, you know, it's like, of course it does. You know, I mean, I don't think I would be doing it if I was just like, if I felt like I was getting molested the whole time. you know, I get, you know, what is the other, how much money do you make? I guess I get asked a lot or, you know, how much. I don't know.
Well, what's your perception of, like, what makes you feel like you don't want to tell people what you do?
When people ask, when I do mention it, and then I get rated with questions that I feel like are insensitive or just way off base.
Right.
I can't even actually pull one.
No. But right, I mean, like, how do you sense, do you normally say what do, or how do you handle all that, and how can you tell, you know, who's going to be
kind of like
rude?
Don't ask, don't tell. Like, I just don't mention it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if something comes up and they're like, oh, like, people ask me, you know, where I work, and I'll give them like a general idea of where I work. They think I work at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I do sometimes, so it seems normal, you know. Right. I just work in another bar in a neighborhood that I don't go to ever.
Right.
So there's that, and I keep the lie the same. It's not like a lie, but I keep it.
No, it's self-protective.
It is.
This is what I'm angry about. You shouldn't have to be in a position where you have to protect yourself. But
yeah, well, no, I mean, I thought for a long time, like, there was a long time I didn't tell anybody what I did. And then mm-hmm. there was a period of time where I was just completely open about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just, you know, I do the don't ask, don't tell, or the don't, mm-hmm. I just don't volunteer information that mm-hmm. readily.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't lie. So if I'm asked it directly, I'll just say it like it's no big deal. But it rarely comes up, honestly.
I mean, because people don't really just talk about work all the time.
Yeah, no. I think it's because I surround myself with a different set of people that, you know, maybe more creative types that don't talk about work.
Right, because I was noticing, like, last night we hosted, they kind of used our place, and we loved them, the Bushwick Daily holiday party,
mm-hmm.
and because we have a Christmas tree, and I'm Jewish, and all that, and we, those people aren't making a living writing for or photographing for the Bushwick Daily. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, a few people, when I got in a long enough conversation and I was trying to find something to talk about, I'd say, so do you do something else too? But creative people often don't talk about how they make their money.
Yeah, because a lot of them aren't making money mm-hmm. in their creative endeavors, and so they're doing something crappy on the side that they hate. I at least, you know, I should be more creative about what I do. I could have more of a performance art thing going on in my
yeah, we could make that up. We could make that up.
I could improve on my costumes a little bit. I kind of, at this point in the game, I just, you know, I'm a very low maintenance sex worker.
Right. Well, you're a professional. You've got the experience. I want to let people know that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. And that you can donate money. It's a really great station, and we have every kind of radio show on here. And you should just go to our webpage at radiofreebrooklyn.com. I'm worried. See, I get really nervous that I'm fucking this up, and then I'm going to say I'm not going to get it right, or that I'm actually, this is what happened. I'll tell you the truth. I forgot to say it right in the beginning, and now I'm like, oh shit, I'm in trouble.
So you got to say it two more times.
I know. So you should go to our Patreon page and donate money. You could put like a dollar month in there. And you can actually sponsor my show if you want, you know, and then I'll give you a shout out every week for like $1 a month. Just my show, even. Crazy, right? So you should do that. Yeah. So how did you grow up? Like, how does an intelligent, regular old person find themselves in the sex worker business? Like, how did you grow up?
I Googled something online recently, and someone wrote like their thesis on like how girls end up doing this. And mm-hmm. basically, you know, a pretty good looking girl from, you know, with a not much of a presence of her father in the house and whose parent family doesn't have that much money. It's just a perfect combination, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that described your background?
Yeah. So and then of course, you know, there's like some, I was molested as a kid. So then that's uh-huh. like a,
that's another thing.
Yeah,
so like where did you grow up?
A combination of things. I grew up in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. And where was your dad? What happened with your parents?
My parents were divorced. My dad lived in the next town over. He called me every fucking day, but
nice.
Still he didn't live with me. So
how often did you see him?
I saw him every weekend until I was a teenager, and then I just didn't have time for him.
Right, of course. So you saw him every weekend. Yeah. Did you have a nice relationship with him?
Yeah.
Or did you feel about him growing up?
It's, you know, he's a pretty crass person, pretty big loudmouth.
Uh-huh.
He was a great salesperson. I got that from him, I think.
Mm-hmm. When you say crass, do you mean like...
Just really loud, obnoxious.
Loud and obnoxious,
yeah.
Big personality.
Big personality, very rude, yeah.
Does he like tell people to fuck off or like, what
yeah.
do you mean? Like
yeah.
shit like that? Okay.
Yeah, like cross the fucking street.
Oh, okay.
You see me coming, you cross the fucking street.
And
you
know, he was a salesman.
Yeah.
And how
yeah,
about your mom? What did she do?
She was a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And so she showed up every day and sat at a desk and worked for a boss. It was horrible. And she did that for my entire childhood. I mean, I think she did that for like 20 years. It was.
I bet she had some, I bet her father wasn't ideal.
No. Her father was
really?
Great, but my grandmother, I think, and her clashed a little bit. I don't know. It's really hard to
well,
look
like
down the chain and figure out where mm-hmm. everything went wrong.
I know. Well, an aggressive,
I've tried so hard.
An obnoxious dad and an obnoxious boss. I mean, that's where I was going with that.
Oh.
So did your mom date or anything like that?
You know, she did only a little bit. My mother, I think, really hated men.
Uh-huh.
She's...
What made you, what, how did you get that sense?
She would say it.
What did
all
she
the time?
Say? It? Like, what?
I hate fucking men. Men fucking suck. You know, a bunch of fucking assholes. You know, she was working, you know, I think in her office there was just a lot of misogyny. And
mm-hmm.
I think that she was not.
What kind of office was it?
She worked for an insurance company.
Oh, yeah, that sounds boring.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can imagine horrible. Those guys, not enlightened.
Yeah.
So she was not treated well at work.
Yeah, no.
But she had a steady job, which is pretty admirable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And was she educated?
You know, I think she had a 2-year degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so did you get along with her? Did you have brothers or sisters?
When I was younger, I didn't get along with her. I don't know even if I get along with her now. I thought she was like really wonderful. You know, I thought she was my best friend when I was in my 20s, and now that I'm in my 30s, I feel like I think she has a lot of problems. She has a lot of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just really afraid I'm going to be like her.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
It's turned from like being like, oh, I get along. I get along with my mother.
Where does she live? Does she live near you?
No,
at all?
She lives out west.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't see her that
no,
often.
No, I don't see her that often. But I talk to her. I should call her once a week. I don't think I talk to her even once a week.
Right. What does she know what you do for a living?
Yes.
And
I left home when I was really young.
What's her point of view on that?
She feels horrible about the whole thing, I think. She's also, you know, it's, you know, I don't think she can really accept that some of the blame falls on her. I think that she feels like a failure, like a complete failure. Yeah. That's what I think anyways. This is my idea. I mean, I should maybe ask her someday.
No. I mean, you know, this is why we're having this chat.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're in therapy. So she feels that way. But I'm not sure. I don't see you as a failure. Do you see you as a failure?
I mean, I'm very proud that, you know, I have my own apartment and I am able to take care of my cat.
You seem healthy and happy to me. And
I can afford to live in New York.
I'm really proud.
Every time I pay my rent, I'm very proud.
You have regular work that seems pretty satisfying, and you seem pretty healthy and happy.
Yeah.
And you don't seem to – you seem successful to me.
Laugh a lot. I mean, I'm very concerned about the future because this job has an expiration date as far as
just like a lot of – Those kinds of jobs. Like,
any kind of job that depends on your looks.
Right.
So there was that.
Yeah.
That stresses me out.
Saving? Are you saving?
No, I'm not. And my business hasn't been as good as it used to be. So I think I figured I would just be making money hand over fist my whole life. And then I, things have slowed down. I'm making like about 1/5 of what I was making 10 years ago.
It's really, well, also, hasn't porno, you know, all the web.
I think it's cut into everybody's business. And the economy, there are so many. I can think of 1,000 excuses,
right?
You know?
Well, it's not just that.
Or I'm just getting older. I don't look quite as good as I used to.
Well, I don't know. I can't imagine that. But anyway, so
guys love an 18-year-old girl, though. They really do. It's so sick.
Oh, because they feel so in charge.
Oh, yeah. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, maybe it's my personality is just a little bit too, you know. Too fixed now.
They don't like
opinionated women.
Yeah, but they don't like that anyway. I mean, whether they're paying you to hang out with them. I mean, pretty much on a date, men are sort of paying you to hang out with them no matter what. I mean, that's the dynamic that
if they pay and they're not an asshole about it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a dynamic we've all agreed to somehow.
I don't know if we've all agreed to it. There's always that one rogue asshole who you go out with and they're like, oh, we're going Dutch. And it's like, you fucking kidding me? I didn't even pick the restaurant.
Yeah, well, you know, he doesn't get right now. No, I know. So are you single now?
Yes, I am.
So has hello?
I'm such a catch.
You are, though.
I need to find somebody really kinky that's like turned on by this shit. You know, wants to hear about my weird shit that I did at work.
How has your work affected your dating? Have you had a boyfriend?
Horrible. It's horrible. Well, I've quit doing this for stints at a time. That's when I've blown through my savings is when I've had boyfriends. So basically, I just regret all of the money I've spent and all the boyfriends I've had.
So they don't want you to be doing this kind of work while they're
It's hard for me also to, either they let me continue doing it and it irritates them and ruins their self-esteem. Or they make me quit right away and then I'm bored and I don't know what to do with myself and I get unhappy. I don't know. That's just nothing's working out.
So, I mean, and there's a lot of people who have all sorts of, a lot of women, I'll just say that, a lot of people that have all sorts of jobs that feel the same way. I mean, except for maybe having to quit.
Yeah.
But
also,
so,
I work nights, so it feels like it's really tough for me to find, like, most men that work nights also aren't looking to settle down. They're still having a lot of fun.
Right.
So, like, you know, if I'm going to find someone with a schedule, like, where I can see them more than once a week, because I work, like, 6 days a week. So, I mean, if I had a boyfriend that worked days, I would see them only on Sunday then.
Right. So it's kind of like being a musician or a comedian or a performer of any sort. I mean, you're a performer, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean,
it's performing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not.
It's a lot of improv.
It's a lot of acting, right?
Improv, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get into the career? Can I ask you about, like, what happened? You said you were molested or?
Well, yeah. So when I was 15, there was someone that lived at in my home. I wouldn't say it was my mother's boyfriend, but.
Like you rented a room
Yeah,
he
rented a room in the house. And my mother and
friend,
him
probably.
Were hooking up, but they were keeping that completely secret.
Did you know that they were?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt horrible years later when I realized that that was the case because my mother has never dated since. So that's really sad.
Did that seem like a good judgment to you for her to not let you know that? Did that make sense? Does that make sense to you that she didn't want you to know?
You know, I think that she wasn't that into him. I think that she was just she was renting a room in the house and it happened once or twice that they had sex.
Yeah, right.
And she didn't want us to know about it probably
because she wasn't serious about him.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I think she thought she could do better, honestly.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
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 So anyway, so what happened? So how old were you?
I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just went like, I was already like at a really weird place where I was just starting to experiment with drugs. And I think that that just sent me off the deep end.
Mm-hmm. Drugs, and, like?
Yeah, I just started using drugs really heavily.
Marijuana?
My mother threw me out at 16.
Because you were using drugs?
So I was using drugs.
So your mom threw you out?
Yeah, threw me out.
Without trying to help you or anything?
Well, I got kicked out of high school.
Because they caught you with drugs?
Well, I stole $10 to pay for drugs, and they suspended me. And that was during, like, exams that they suspended me, so I was going to have to stay back a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I beat somebody up.
Wow.
I beat up the girl that told on me, and then I got expelled.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
And your mom?
And then I got kicked out of the second high school in my father's neighborhood for doing drugs in school.
Oh, so you had a drug problem.
I had a drug problem, yeah.
And, but, I mean, you know, there are a lot of, teenage years are tough. And
yeah, I was a mess.
Did your parents try to help you in any way?
I went to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
I went to rehab. My
Did
dad,
they put you in rehab?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I asked for it.
Okay.
I was like, I think that it was, you know, like there was
you
no way.
You told them you needed to.
Yeah. I don't think they realized how serious it had gotten.
Right.
So yeah, I did rehab, and then I got out of town and started supporting myself. Just, I feel like that's one of the things that got me clean. I mean, I'm not clean.
Like, you're not,
but
like,
I don't
stone
do,
cold
yeah,
sober.
Yeah, I don't do heroin anymore. So that's
right.
That's great, I think. Yeah.
No, of course.
I drink a ton. I do a lot of partying, but mm-hmm. I don't, like, I'm not
right, you're not
case.
A, right, right.
So, yeah, I had to, got out of my mother's house and out of the neighborhood entirely, you know, out of the state.
Were there other kids that you knew that were also taking drugs?
Yeah, all my best friends got into it when I was a kid.
So
and a couple of them.
What kind
jail.
Of town was it? Was it,
it was a really cute suburban town. It was like a really like ritzy neighborhood too. It was a nice,
really?
Nice area. Yeah.
And so there were a lot of kids dealing with that problem, right?
I wouldn't say a lot of kids. I would say there were like 10 kids mm-hmm. in school, and I was one of the 10 complete druggies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you think that maybe some of that was like you didn't?
I mean, I think that after I was molested, I was just like, well, fuck this.
And did your mom know you were molested?
Yeah, yeah. She thought I dreamt it. She still, I think, believes that it was a dream I had. But that's her coping mechanism, I understand now.
Well, that's really...
That's really fucked up.
I
know.
I mean, you know that, right?
I said the same thing to her. I was like, you know that's really fucked up, right? I said the same thing to her.
It's so fucked up.
It really is, yeah.
She was really protecting herself.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's yeah, I mean...
She probably felt like...
She probably feels really responsible. She already feels like a failure. I really don't know. Rubber nose and shit about this.
Well...
And I think I have already, honestly.
What?
I said something to her. You know, she replied to me, like, if that actually happened to you once. And I was like, ugh, if.
Oh.
And I made a huge stink about it.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
You must feel some anger at her. I feel angry at her.
Well, it also, you know, I think it's a very bad for me psychologically to doubt myself about something
absolutely.
So serious.
Absolutely.
And so if I was at the time, because my memory is so bad, but when I was a kid at the time, I spoke to her about it. That must have been very difficult. I know that was very difficult.
Directly
to me
at
too.
The time.
Yeah.
In the moment. I mean, or like that
it was
day
like,
or whatever.
Yeah, later that day, I told her immediately.
And, uh-huh.
You know, and I feel like I should have been, you know, I should have been commended for that. I should have been like, I should have, you know, if I had.
You should have had her take care of you.
Yeah, I should have been told, thank you for coming to me. I shouldn't have had to have, like, she would put him in front of me in an audience so he could plead with me to remember that it was just a dream.
What?
Yeah. So he would sit.
What?
And he would come over.
Wait,
and they would have like coffee together. And then she'd sit him down with me and he'd be like, oh, you know, I just need you to think back really hard and you know, find it in yourself to realize that this was just, you just imagine this. And I was like, no. And that fucks with your head. It's like a 15-year-old.
Wow.
Like your sense, it just like makes you doubt your own sense of reality. And I was taking a lot of acid back then. I was eating mushrooms all the time. So I think I was just like wicked.
Well,
confused.
You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot. That's a like a lot. That's a, you know, a stew of circumstances and issues and stuff like that. But your mother, I mean, a mother that won't look into that and take that seriously indicates a lot of other holes in her parenting.
Yeah, I think that she was, you know, and as a kid, you don't notice this, though. And it's been really beneficial when I talk to other relatives and I'm like, hey, what about this with my mother? And they're like, you know, your mother wasn't ever, you know, totally all there. You know, we always questioned your mother's sanity.
You know what I think is not good now is that your mother shames you for what you do.
She doesn't know. We don't talk about it. It's just not talked about.
But you know she doesn't like it.
I know she doesn't like it.
Yeah. She doesn't like, say anything at least, right?
I was sitting, my cousin just opened his own business and my mother was talking to him and saying, oh, I'm just so proud of you. Look, you're taking care of yourself, doing this, doing that. And I was like, you're all grown up. And I'm like, looking at this, I'm like, she's never said any of that to me.
Wow.
I've never gotten that from her. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think a lot of people, like, you know, even people from what's considered good families, you know, I had a boyfriend that was really wealthy and his dad never gave him any kind of positive feedback.
Yeah. I mean, most parents are disappointing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm not like, they can't sit here at my age being like, poor me, my mother doesn't think I'm a success.
But that is. You know, that is disappointing.
I honestly don't think I'm a success either. I think if I had if I could do something else and make more money, I certainly would.
Well, I think everybody feels so.
something else that I felt like comfortable with. Like, uh-huh. I think there are a lot of jobs that I would feel like a pig farmer. I could never do that. Like working a
Is there anything like, what do you do in like, do you have like a hobby or something in your free time or?
Right now I'm really void of that. I have depression, and I was really depressed a little while ago, so I'm trying to, like, find what I enjoy all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't feel like I have the energy. Like, even if there is something I enjoy, I don't feel like I ever have the energy to get out of the house and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything costs money. I'd rather just save money.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've fallen into that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well... What was I going to say?
I like to ski.
You like to ski?
Really expensive. Yeah, I like to surf. That's really expensive.
Physical activities are great.
Yeah.
So have you ever been treated? Have you ever been into? Have you ever gone to a real therapist or any of that?
I've been to quite a few.
And how has that gone?
You know, it goes okay. I think that there's definitely. I would say 80% of the therapists I've spoken to, I get a very bad feeling that they don't understand or get what I do, and they're not accepting. They're not accepting of what I do for a living, you know. So, especially female therapists are worse than men. I had a great therapist who passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh.
I know. He passed away right after my father died.
Oh.
It's like a week later. It was like, and it took me like 2 years to find this
guy.
He's so good.
I know. Horrible. But, cause those seem, you know, that seems like, I mean, depression is treatable.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that it's more... Well, I mean, right now I'm just practicing preventative. Like, I have little rules for myself. Like, I need to shower at least every other day. I need to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to – there are different things. I don't allow myself to order Seamless. I take the train, so I'm around people. I like that.
That's a lot of discipline.
Every other day, Seamless. I talk to somebody on the phone that I know, you know, and I just – like, human connection is really important. Because when you're self-employed, you can just stay home if you're depressed.
Oh, I know.
Then you just get more depressed.
And if you have a job and you're making money, you can just watch TV at home the rest of the time.
I find is really depressing for me. I'm not going to buy any more, I don't think.
It's going
to be like one of my New Year's resolutions is to just not smoke so much pot.
So, because you smoke pot when you're home.
I try to only smoke it in the evening, but, you know, I
Yeah, I'm, that can definitely, it'll take all the serotonin out of
Is that what it does?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it affects the serotonin.
I think so. Yeah, you know, all that stuff, like a lot of it, if it's in your system all the time, it really just...
Yeah. You're like, what do you do for hobbies? Well, I smoke pot. what are your hobbies? I watch TV.
If you smoke pot and also like... made something, that would probably be better.
I decorated my tree with origami.
Yeah,
this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. See, that's positive. You need a hobby. A hobby can really help you.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I think so too. I started Pilates. That was the most expensive hobby I think I could have started. That was like $100 a week. I managed to do that for like a couple months, and then
well, maybe
I went broke.
Something you need. No, but something you can do at home by yourself that's. Because it's really, you know, that's why coloring books are so popular now.
Yeah, I've had one of those adult coloring books. I feel like that's a real big waste of time, though. Like, I should maybe just draw my own shit.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a good way to get started.
Yeah,
occupational therapy. That was what they used to give all depressed people. You know,
That's a great treatment for depression.
It really is.
Yeah.
Especially, and it's very cheap.
Popsicle sticks.
Yeah, knitting is great.
I did. I taught myself to knit when I was in the throes of like my deepest depression. I taught myself to knit, and I don't know how to knit. I don't want to blame everything on my ADD because I do that sometimes, but I have ADD, so I really can't keep track of how many like stitches I've done. So it's really hard for me to make anything that requires a pattern.
Oh.
So I just knit huge pieces of nothing.
That's good. Scarves.
I just keep knitting. Yeah.
People love
long,
that.
Long scarves until a roll of yarn is gone.
Scarves.
I'm
exactly.
good at hats. I can do hats too.
So I want to let people know that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm with Natalie. We're talking about her work as a sex worker, and we're learning a lot. It's pretty interesting. And give us some of your thoughts about men. Like, how is it, you know, what do you married men.
I try to tell myself all the time that what I do, I'm just seeing a certain type of man. You know, I'm seeing it.
Right.
And except, you know, I don't like to judge people because I could see myself paying for sex in the future.
Well, that's
I mean,
whole,
I'm not against doing that myself.
What I'm curious about is that, you know, people, I mean, marriage is a construct, right? So, I mean...
I think I'm just seeing really miserably married people all the time. I mean, I've had customers that will talk to me about how wonderful their wives are for hours, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. But do you think men are just like, what if our society was different? And, you know, what if we were like, it seems to me like cave people probably fucked a lot and fairly indiscriminately, right?
I think there's probably more rape going on, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, probably a lot
of that.
There's
good
too.
Sex, there's bad sex. Like, that's the kind of sex that you get a UTI from.
Yeah, right. So, but there is, like, definitely, I mean, sex can get, I mean, there's nothing like sex with somebody new. That's just the way it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, that gets, you know,
my husband
would
be the first person.
Night. I'm really sick of having, like, first-time sex with people. I really wish that I was with somebody that, like, knew my body. And, I every time they went down on me, I didn't have to, like, retrain them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I kind of miss that.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think that like the men you see, is it just like they're bored too, or like what do you is there a commonality or
horny. I don't know. I mean, I think they have
you think it's just normal? I mean, part of it
I think
is
it is
just,
kind of just normal. But at the same time, I think what isn't normal is when a guy is like, oh, this is horrible. I'm not into this, and it's like, why are you here?
Oh, because he feels bad about himself.
Yeah,
and he's putting
it
on you.
On me. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's fucked up now.
Yeah.
So that's more awkward. Comedians do that. Comedians, it seems like, are not they're not normal men.
What does that
like,
mean?
I can just speak really generally about like men.
Yeah,
that's
what we're doing.
You want me to be
yeah,
a racist
that's what
on
we're
here?
Doing.
Yeah, I mean, oh, gosh.
So go ahead.
And, you know, even my coworkers that are black or... You know, they have the same stereotypes as me about our customers.
Yeah. So what are they? Go ahead.
Yeah, just
go for it. Hate mail. Go ahead. I can take it.
Indian men are horrible customers. Black men are horrible customers.
Why are they horrible customers?
They are so fucking cheap.
Oh, Indian men are cheap.
Yep. Jewish guys are great customers.
And black men you think are cheap?
Black men are always looking for a deal in a different way. They don't mind spending the money, but they want like all sorts of weird fucking shit.
They
want
to get their money's worth?
Yes. They want to get their money's worth, whereas Indian guys want to negotiate down.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. It's like, that's horrible. That's like, oh, yeah, my God.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm, I've had like the one-off where I've been like, oh, what a generous, friendly black guy.
No, of course, we're generalizing.
Yeah, I mean,
we're generalizing because it's fun. Yeah, you know, it's just
I mean,
fun.
In 20 years, I've had like about like let's say 10, but I think it's a little bit less. Really good customers that are black that spend a ton of money.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's also there's a demographic too involved. Like there's, you know, black people frequently just don't have as much money.
Well, that's probably true.
So there's that, and I don't know though. I feel like with oh gosh, Israelis are really cheap too.
Really?
Yeah, they're really cheap. Like they're just very good looking guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the guy is too good looking, he's very rare. I would say there's probably only been 10 times that a really drop dead gorgeous guy has paid me, or wanted to pay me, or been a repeat
customer.
They
think they're going to get something for nothing.
Yeah,
Or
they just do.
They just want to have their egos reinforced.
Yeah.
Have you ever slept with us or whatever you call it? Have you ever had a client, whatever customer client? What did we decide? They don't like being called it, but what do you call them?
I guess I call them customers.
Customers. So have you ever had a customer, like a famous customer? Or people who really wouldn't want their names?
Well, I think with them, then, it's a situation where they don't they like to pay just so it's not complicated, because I think people, like, fall, like, really head over heels for them and hound them. And they're like, oh, I want to fuck you again. Please call me. And they just, like, get berated if they let somebody in just a little bit. So I think that it's more convenient for them to be like, oh, it was a transaction.
So they just, So they make it like a transaction.
Yeah.
So what do you think about men that have sex? Like, I mean, I mean, I'll tell you what I say to my husband, even though like I don't think he's ever taken me up on it. Maybe he has. I wouldn't know. I say, have sex with whoever you want. Just make sure I never find out about it.
That's kind of where I stand in relationships too, because I think that I don't know. I'm also wrapping my head around overcoming jealousy. I want to be one of those really kinky people that's like, well, has group sex and stuff. And
you do?
I do. I aspire to be like that, free and open sexually. I do have a little bit of a jealous streak in me though. So
have you ever been involved with any polyamorous groups?
No, I'm interested in that. But you know what? There's something really creepy about that to me. I don't know why. Like,
really?
I did. I don't
that's
know
pretty
what
funny.
It is. Like, I feel like I'm like being preyed
upon. Maybe you need
upon.
To pay them.
You know what it is? It's like, do you ever ask yourself, is this sex so good I shouldn't have to fuck for free? You know, like sometimes I'm like with a group of people and it's like we're getting ready to have some group sex and I'm like, I should be getting paid for this shit.
Ah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's exhausting with more than one person,
I think. You also said, you know, it's interesting because you were saying that you would like to have somebody who knew your body and had, that you had a sexual relationship with. So maybe that would be a good thing.
Yeah, I would like somebody that I was confident liked me enough that I could let them fuck whoever they want and not have to worry about whether or not they were going to run off.
See, I think I could give you, I'm not going to say anything on, well, it's not that hard to find a polyamorous group if you look into it. I mean,
yeah,
I know.
A polyamorous group that has good looking people that aren't creepy. I don't know.
Well, have you tried it?
I haven't, but I've been to some like sex parties and there were a lot of elderly couples there.
I know. You know, actually, I have, had sex, before I was married, before I met my husband, in a sex club.
Uh-huh.
And it was creepy, gross. Right?
Yeah, like I closed my eyes to kiss the guy that I was with, and I opened my eyes, and there were like three dudes jacking off really close to me. I was like,
whoa. Yeah, there was some guy grabbing my tit and shit like, and they were gross. They were really
gross people. Right?
Like okay. Suburban people, not like, sorry, suburban people, but they weren't like cool. Like it was in Manhattan. And I thought, you know, these would be like interesting
people. I
heard
there's this great community like at Burning Man. There's a good like sex party at Burning Man. And I heard there's something going on here in Bushwick. Like
there is.
Like,
I'll talk to you about it when we get off the air. Because
cool.
See, I think that would be really good for you to try something like that, because those people are open to the idea, and they are living the idea of having open relationships. Yeah. And in a sense, that's all you're really doing.
Yeah, I would love to be surrounded by people that I could talk about sex with freely and openly mm-hmm. without them cringing or being like, oh my God.
And then you could develop, because I do think that there would be growth as your pretend therapist who knows you who's been talking to you for less than an hour. I do think there might be some growth for you.
There's a little bit of problem also, though. I don't think I enjoy sex as much as I used to. I'm really like to have like two or three orgasms and go to bed. I don't mean like maybe like a half hour of foreplay, two or three orgasms, and then just leave me alone. Leave my vagina alone after that.
Well, I think that polyamory.
Like I feel like a group thing. Like, and then I'd like to just have sex like two or three times a week.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I need two boyfriends for that.
No, but you know what? I think the whole polyamory thing seems cool because it's like a party.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think, like, we were talking about how what you do is really this.
It's a party, but I feel like everybody has an ulterior motive. And at least when I'm at work, the dynamic is like I am withholding and getting paid.
I don't think so.
So you don't think so when you go to one of these parties?
No.
It's not like everybody's kind of looking at you as a piece of meat?
No, I mean, there's one party in particular that I haven't gone to, but I just haven't. Also, me and my husband, we're old people and shit like that. You know, I feel like I just don't know if I have
the energy. That's exactly
what?
The energy. It takes a lot of energy to be that sexual.
No, I feel actually I don't want to put young people in a position of like having to be sexual with old people. Seriously, I'm protective. I feel like protective of them.
You're self-conscious.
No, I'm not. I mean, honestly, I've been naked in public. Yeah, yeah. I'm not. I really, because they're people I know, some of them, and I don't know. If I was younger, I would definitely do it. If I was younger and certainly single, I would definitely do it just to see, because I like stuff like that. I mean, I've been to.
I'll tell you also though,
out of curiosity.
I'm not that good with distractions. Like it takes me I might not even have an orgasm if there was too much going on in the room.
Yeah, but I think
if the TV is on, for example, it's like that will just throw me off.
All I'm saying is it might be a good way for you to like get to meet people that might.
I feel like Woody Allen. I'm clamming up now. Here I am, the sex worker.
And I'm gonna stop saying this because I can tell we're not ready for this. We'll have to talk about it at the next session.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good idea in theory.
No, I mean,
but every sex party
about.
I've been to has just creeped me out.
No, but I'll tell you about one that I know about that
I
seems a lot
idea.
Cooler.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Like,
when we're done.
Shot.
But so we only have 7 minutes left, and I just want to hear about, like, you know, you must have, like, you do you have a good support system and friends and stuff like that that you can talk to? Or
our mutual friend is good. I have one other friend that does what I do for a living. She's my best friend. And and that's been invaluable, you know, like just having her, you know, to talk shit to. And even, you know, even the things I say that she's very familiar with, she even sometimes feels uncomfortable just discussing it. But like the other day she says I gotta tell you, something horrible happened. She calls me up, she's like, I had a Hasidic Jewish couple have sex like with me, you know, like they had sex with each other in front of me. It was just totally awkward. I feel really uncomfortable, the whole thing. And I was like, oh shoot, I did the same thing. I've done
that
before. Yeah. And so like we can go back and forth with each other, like
that's
when there's
so
something
cool.
Like crazy that happens, I, you know, she's experienced it, so it's not like I'm, you know, alone
right,
in the world with this
right,
crazy thing that just went
right.
down.
That's so wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you must have the best material.
I know.
You'd have to quit the business, though. See, that's like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't even say that because, you know, their
community
is so, like, I feel bad. Like, now,
look,
I wonder if they're, you know.
There were so many things that I used to think, like, when I worked in advertising. I mean, if I had done, like, a naked performance like I did before and I worked in advertising, I probably would have ruined my career.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we all have that to some degree.
Yeah, I don't think if I was to become a stand-up comedian that I would get famous enough to have an impact on my career.
It
and
wouldn't
I don't,
matter.
I don't think I'm, you know, I think that the people that I service are probably don't want to step forward.
Well, everybody, you know, we all creative people deal with that all the time. I mean, there's just ways, you know, writers, you just change names and, you know,
I do. I have several fake names now.
Yeah. So, how about, do you have any guy friends?
Yeah, I get along pretty well with guys. I have a lot of guy friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're actually really down to earth about what I do. They really, you know, a lot of them are just of the mind that they would be doing that if they could. If they could get paid for having sex, right, they definitely would.
So you think like there's so you have guy friends that you don't have a sexual relationship with?
Yeah.
I mean,
I do accidentally turn things sexual a lot when I'm drunk. So like I would say that my best guy friends are people that I've had sex with once a long time ago, and it was just like a joke and didn't work out.
Right. I think
wasn't that enough fun for either of us to bother with again, and now we've just been friends for years.
Yeah. I mean, but I do think that's common.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about like volunteering or anything with like
I have. I feel like money is a super motivating factor though. Like I have this volunteer thing that I get like updates for like all sorts of things, like, oh, we need a bartender at this fundraiser.
Or or about like working with, you know, young women who've been involved in sex trafficking or something like that.
I don't know if I am in a position to give anybody any advice.
Well, I mean, I think I think it's just a support type thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't feel like you're mentally stable
enough to be that supportive. Like, I don't even know. Yeah,
you need a volunteer to help you.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I don't even know if like I've thought about doing like big brother, big sister thing, and I'm like, no, if it would be great for the kid. Probably just screw him up.
So do you, like, I mean, do you imagine getting married and stuff like that? Do you think about that?
It's becoming a more, like, less feasible. Like, I used to imagine it and think it was really going to happen one day. I really don't.
I mean,
really,
is that something you really want, though?
It was something I really really wanted for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now it's something I really think I thought I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that even makes sense, but I'm not even sure. I've been less happy in every relationship I've ever been in than I am single. So I have the most fun and people like me the most when I'm single.
So that's interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, part of it is definitely, I think that a woman that really claims her sexuality in the way that you do, and that's, you know, and I mean, any woman, I mean, I'll say it myself, even having just a big mouth.
Yeah.
Is definitely narrows the field.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think anytime you express your opinions or your likes or dislikes, it then you're then thinning people out. Like the other day, this guy I was dating, who I'm probably not going to date anymore, I was like, I was trying to find something on Netflix to watch. And I was like, oh, what about this? I haven't seen the stand-up comedy special that somebody did. And he's like, oh, I really don't like stand-up comedy, he says. And so him just expressing that preference made me say, you know what? This guy is not the one for me.
Hmm.
You know, like, I'm just
well,
no point.
How well did you know him? Was it the first day?
No. I know him pretty well. I mean, if you were taking ecstasy together, like, I know him pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know.
We never watched TV together, so I didn't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, you got to be open-minded, too. Do you meet most of the guys? Oh, we're only having a minute. So do you ever do Tinder?
I do Tinder a lot.
Yeah? Yep. Is that fun for you?
It is. I mean, I don't...
Probably not the best way to meet a guy. I mean, you know, you're a little conflicted maybe about having a relationship. You're not
Tinder
sure
is
if you really
almost
want
as
one.
Bad as meeting people through my job,
which
honestly.
Isn't.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Mean,
it's entertaining. It kills time. I like swiping. I like just the act of swiping when I'm bored. There's sometimes, you know, a little flirtation that goes on that's fun. But really, I don't have time to go on any dates. People get really annoyed about that, and they're like, "Oh, what do you mean you don't have a day off for the next? Or you don't have any available time for the next 3 weeks?" It's like, yeah, 2 weeks from now on Sunday.
I think
I'm
there
free.
Might be something the unavailable time and the not being.
If it was a guy that was good looking enough, I could just skip.